always try to get your attention with something that hopefully will get you thinking about what I'd like to talk about. And I was thinking about a story that happened 10 years ago at school. And I had this student 10 years ago. His name wasn't Eric, but let's call him Eric. And Eric came into school one morning, and on the side of his neck, he had this black and blue mark right here. So some of you guys know what instantly all the other boys and girls began to tease Eric about. And they kind of teased him and said, Eric, how did you get that black and blue mark on the side of your neck? And they were kind of, you know, chuckling and laughing. And yeah, Eric. And he said, I was playing with the vacuum cleaner. And I got it stuck on my neck. I remember looking at Eric and going, Every once in a while, I'll see a kid from that class. They graduated in 2010. And whenever they talk about Eric, his name's not Eric, but you say, you remember that time with the vacuum cleaner? And some of the girls didn't believe the story about the vacuum. But at the same time, I don't know if I believe it, but I have no idea how Eric could have got that mark on his neck. I'm being honest right now. But knowing Eric. But anyways, it for a while there, that mark had people looking at Eric and made him stand out like a sore thumb, and everybody and I picture Naaman here in 2 Kings chapter 5. It says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said to the girl who is from the land of Israel. Let's pray this morning. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we look at Naaman, but he was a leper. And Lord, we think about his problem. We think about what he had to endure. And we think about sin, a much bigger problem. A problem that doesn't make everybody around us necessarily look at us, but separates us from you. I pray that you might help us really examine our hearts, to look at the sin that separates us from a relationship with Jesus Christ, and deal with it and take care of it. Lord God, you are great and greatly to be praised. I pray that you'll just help us to dive into your word this morning and be encouraged by it. In your son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, as we were looking at the life of Naaman, we saw that Naaman was a mighty man. We talked about him as the mighty man of valor. We compared him to Gideon. And we said some people in the Bible, you look at Naaman, he was a mighty man of valor because of the things that he had done, and Gideon for the things that God would do through him. But we also saw last week that Naaman was a great soldier, and the things that he had accomplished, God had been a part of that. God had led him to that place. One of my favorite stories in all the Bible is John chapter 9, where Jesus comes to the blind man by the pool of Siloam, which we sang about that this morning. I don't know if you caught that, but that was in one of our songs. And they have this conversation. Who sinned that this man has been born blind? This man or his parents? And Jesus' answer is, neither one. But he was born blind so God could get the glory. And I believe that God had given Naaman victory and made him victorious in battle so that he could come to this place, so he could become a leper, so God could clean him. I believe it was divinely inspired. And Matt, I'm trying to get to where I want to go, and it's not working out for me. Still not. I've been trying here for a while. So there we go. He was the commander of the Syrian army. Still not working for me, man. Every time this happens, I say, I'm going to buy a new presenter. And we talk about how he was like Gideon. And God had worked through him. And God had led him to this place. And I just picture a person who had it all. Who had fame and fortune and notoriety and position and power. But does that get you what you want? Does that fulfill all of your needs? At the end of the year, often we have these lists that we look back. People we lost during the last year. And I watched one recently about sports players that died in 2018. Do you know about half the list was because of suicides or drugs? Actually, I think it was more than half the list. And I said, man, when I was a kid, I thought to be a sports player, to make it to the NBA or the major leagues was, you know, for a guy, that was the highest praise that you could get. Does that bring fulfillment that we, as when we're young, think it will? To be a movie star, a comedian, we think that maybe to be someone great and amazing will just end all of your problems and everything will be wonderful. Is that the truth? No. And Naaman, also here in this situation, he had problems too. He was a leper. Leper, the term leprosy follows the Greek word lepra and the Hebrew word tesserat. In its most basic meaning, denotes a serious skin disease. A serious skin disease. And I'm sure that everyone, when they look at Naaman, they would have known that he had a problem. If we could kind of compare it to a disease today, we might compare it to AIDS or maybe Ebola, if we were to look at something like that. Once you had leprosy, people looked at you differently. You were cast out of society. And when we read the Word of God, the word leprosy, whether it be in the New Testament or the Old Testament, serves as a metaphor for sin and all of its gruesome effects upon men and women who are made in God's image. When we see leprosy, the Bible is absolutely talking about a disease that would destroy people's lives and have them removed from society. But sin does the same thing. And when we regard sin in our hearts, we have a problem. It affects us socially. It affects us spiritually. And it affects us eternally. And so I'd like to talk about Naaman the leper. First and foremost, if we look at leprosy like our sin problem, we all have it. I think I was reading that if you are to take leprosy to its basic state of a skin condition. I was reading something someplace that 90% of people in Great Britain have leprosy. Now, that's not what we're talking about with Naaman. Naaman was afraid, he was afraid of being removed from society and that this leprosy would lead to death. But if we were to use leprosy like they use it today in a form, you know, psoriasis could be a form of leprosy. And sin is a problem that affects everyone. It's a lot bigger problem than any disease that this world could take into consideration. We find nice stories when people like the head of Microsoft say, we are going to spend billions of dollars to combat this disease, malaria. And they're going to throw lots and lots of money at combating a disease. But the world's got a bigger problem than malaria, Ebola, AIDS, and that's sin. Now, those diseases are terrible, and they are a problem, and many lives are lost. But if the sin condition isn't taken care of, eternal separation from God is a much bigger deal than any disease that this world could throw at you. One of the first verses, when we think of the fact that all have sinned, that everyone has sinned, is Romans chapter 3. I'm going to put it up there on the board. And normally I would have us all go to Romans 3:23, but I think probably for most of us, and if you need to go there, that's fine. If you want to go there, that's fine. But Romans 3:23 is a verse we should all know by heart. And I'd like to go someplace this morning. So why don't we say it, just so we're all on the same page, that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And we know that. And we've lived with each other and we realize that even the sweetest lady in church, I don't know who she is today. You probably have a different opinion than me. But the sweetest lady here in church is a sinner just like all the rest of us. And you want to know the first person who would admit that sweet lady is a... That sweet lady, she knows in her heart that she's a sinner. And we're all sinners. We all have been corrupted, infected. Psalm chapter 14. Psalm 14. In Psalm 14, verses 1 to 3, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. And as I read that verse, those verses in Psalm 14, David's got a point. He says, everyone is corrupt. We all have been infected by sin. When Adam chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered into the world, into humanity, and passed to all. And with sin, death passed to all, for all have sinned. And so at that moment, when Adam ate of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, not an apple, but as he ate of the fruit of that tree, sin passed to everybody. And God knew that when he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden and gave man free will, that this would happen, and sin passed out and corrupted and infected all of mankind. He had a plan. He had a cure. He had an antidote. The blood of Jesus Christ. And he began to work his plan out. And we could see all through Scripture. I love reading the book of Genesis. And I hope you do too. Maybe you've determined in your heart that you're going to read through the Bible in a year. And so you sat down in the last week or so, you've read the book of Genesis. Last couple of weeks. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope as you read through it, you saw the cross and God's plan for redemption all the way through it. As you read the story of life of Abraham and Joseph and Noah, you're going, man, we have a God who fixes the sin problem. And he's got a plan for how he's going to save his people. And we're in the same state. We have a sin problem, and we need a Savior. Sin affects the whole person. It doesn't just affect your soul. It doesn't just affect where you're going to spend eternity. But it has a direct correlation to affecting your daily life and your eternal life. And I hate sin. I absolutely hate it. And I hope you do too. And you understand that it's the thing that separates us from an amazing relationship from God. And we need to work hard against sin. We need to be involved in preventative care against sin. We need to be involved in trying to combat sin. And we need to be involved and picking up the pieces after sin has occurred. All of those are important things in what we need to be doing. We need to be going to our brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, hey, do right. Even if there's nothing wrong in their life and on the outside they look like they're okay, we need to be encouraging them. Do right. Live right. We're Christians. That's what we got to do. Then when we find out sin has occurred, we need to go and we need to deal with sin. We need to call sin, sin, and we need to begin to fix the problem immediately. And even if time has gone since a sin has occurred, there are still problems that linger after sin. And we need to be actively involved in trying to help people recover from sin. None of those are easy tasks. But we need to be involved in helping fight the battle against sin. A leper was an outcast. And sin makes us an outcast. Sin separates our fellowship from people in our family, our friends, and most importantly, God. And that's what we're going to look at today, is how sin separates us from God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. I have four verses today about how, like leprosy made someone an outcast from society, so sin separates us from a relationship with God. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities has separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you." I read that verse, and I understand the truth of it, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. And I understand that this verse in Psalm 66:18 is another verse in the Old Testament that talk about how if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. And I think about the fact that even though that is true. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Because God could have just said, you are sinners. You don't want a relationship with me. I'm stepping away from you. But in spite of our sin, he sent Jesus Christ to restore the relationship, to help us. And I am so excited for that. But the truth of the matter is that sin still separates God from man. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. It's a passage of scripture that I love. I love the Bible, but sometimes there's those verses that you just hang on to and you love and you just think are amazing. My Thursday night Bible study I call More Than Conquerors. And I grabbed that from this verse, this passage of Scripture. But as I read this in Romans 8 and verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I read that passage, I say, what can separate us from the love of God? Sin. Can another person separate you from the love of God? No. Can persecution separate you from the love of God? No. Could someone being mean to you, a demon, an angel, could any of those things separate you from the love of God? No. Being poor, could that separate you from the love of God? No. One thing that I see that can separate us from the love of Christ is sin. And unless you come to Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of salvation and the price that he paid, you are in danger of being eternally separated from God. If you know Jesus Christ, here's the good part. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've dealt with your sin before God, and you've come to the cross and believed in Jesus Christ and what he did, that he is God's Son and that he died to pay for your sins, and 3 days later he literally rose from the grave. If you believe that, and you are in that relationship with Christ and your sin is taken care of, nothing in this world can separate you from God. You've taken care of the one thing that separates you from God. We all hate being an outcast. And we hate something that separates us from the group. Some people feel that because they're a little different, they're a little odd, that they don't fit in this place, in one place or another. And they feel like an outcast. That doesn't feel good. I think about what Eric must have went through that day that he came in. And I remember the girls teasing him. And he looked like he wanted to go off into a corner and like hide his neck and everything. And he just felt separated from the group. And sin separates us from God. And we have that blemish in our heart because of sin. And it separates us from the love of God. We need to do everything in our power to run to Jesus Christ, to believe in him as our personal Savior. I'm so thankful that God, that Jesus Christ, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Truth of the matter is, leper is an outcast. And sin leads to a second death. And Revelation chapter 21, a verse in the Bible that you do not want to claim for yourself. It's a verse that you want to get as far away from as possible, being in this crowd. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, talk about a new heaven and a new earth, and it excites us. It's what so many of us who are Christians, what we long for. And we long to see our Savior, first of all, and to come to heaven and to live in a new heaven and a new earth. But then we get to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, and it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I want verses, Revelation chapter 21, 1 to 7. I read those passages of Scripture very often. And when I read them, I go, that's what I want. What I don't want is I don't want to be a part of the crowd in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Being a liar separates you from God forever. Wow. Anybody here ever told a... Everybody, let me rephrase the question. Is there anybody here who's never told a lie? Right? Let's be honest. Correct? Liar. Those love the way that he finishes that. And all liars. I'm guilty. I remember in school, I was in like second or third grade, and I have no idea what prompted me to tell this lie. But I went around telling people that our school was getting a brand new swimming pool. You know who reminded me of that lie for the rest of my life? My mother. She's like, "Scott, I remember you." My mother was so good at reminding me and my brother that we were sinners. I probably wouldn't even remember that lie. But come second grade, I got on the bus and I told her, "Our school's getting a brand new swimming pool." And I went home and I was like, "Mom, guess what? At school, they're getting a brand new swimming pool." And my mom's like, "I know your school. They're not getting a new swimming pool." But I went around telling everybody that we were liar, guilty. I deserve Revelation 21 and verse 8 to be separated from God forever. And I've told other lies. I've told doozies. Art lied to his wife the first time he met her. He's told us that a number of times. You can join my club. But Art does not want to be part of the second death. He doesn't want to be separated from God forever. And he believed in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior.
I told her before I got her out. And she said, "You like
me." We're liars. And if not liars, you'll fit someplace else in there. Don't be separated from God forever. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. When I think about Ephesians chapter 2, so I remember there were times where you get a favorite Bible verse. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 became a favorite Bible verse of mine. And then I expanded it to be Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Because I felt I needed to get Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 in. But then I took the Ephesians chapter 2 and looked at it from the whole context perspective. And it's you as a sinner are dead. You're a walking corpse. If you find Christ, you can have eternal life. And the choice is yours. Eternal death and separation from God, or eternal life, a different kind of life. It's amazing. And we get to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Leprosy left you on the outside of society. It made you separate from everyone else. And sin does the same thing. It separates us from God. But Jesus Christ wanted to make sure that we could hold on to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. You once were not a part of God's kingdom. You did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be brought near. Not only does leprosy separate us from God, leprosy leads to death, and sin leads to death also. Sin leads to death on this earth, and it also leads to eternal death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Let's look in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. I've quoted Romans 5:8 a couple of times this morning, but let's look at Romans 5:12, which says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." In Leviticus chapter 13, as I was preparing for this, I read over Leviticus chapter 13 a couple of times because Leviticus 13 talks about leprosy and how it was to be dealt with and what it meant for the people. And I thought about reading and putting, maybe having our morning reading be Leviticus chapter 13, or maybe putting in more verses about Leviticus chapter 13. But Leviticus chapter 13 and the laws concerning the lepers, and 14 about the lepers being healed, it's a long passage of scripture. And if you want to know more about what the Bible says about leprosy, I'd encourage you, you can read Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14. And as we look in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, it says, 45 to 46, it says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." It said that being a leper, and as you had to go around and say unclean, unclean, and live outside the camp, was like a living death. You knew death was coming, and you had to separate yourself from your loved ones. And it was a terrible, terrible thing. And like I said, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, if you are a sinner, it is like you are someone walking around a dead man, a living death. "But you who were dead in your trespasses and sins." James chapter 1 also talks about how sin leads to death. James 1 talks about how sin leads to death. In James 1 in verse 5 it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's not the verse I wanted, I'm sure. Sin leads to death. 15, that's the verse I wanted. "Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin leads to death. That's depressing. You know, everything this morning. Sin separates you from God. Sin is what keeps you from God. It's what separates you. It leads to death. It leads to eternal separation in the lake of fire. That's terrible. And you can only imagine what Naaman thought and what Naaman was going through. And then, who makes a difference in 2 Kings chapter 5 in Naaman's life? This little girl. She comes along and says, "Oh, that's so terrible that Naaman's got leprosy. If only he was in Israel. There's a prophet there and God would take care of him." Don't you love it how kids, you know, they say some of the most theologically amazing things. They know what's going on sometimes. It's when we become adults and we begin to be careful of our words and we try to watch every word we speak that we don't say such amazing things as kids do. Because often a kid will see a problem and say, "I know how to fix it. God can fix it." Right? We guard our words with, "Well, if that's the Lord's will." And I understand why we do those things. Sometimes children really know what's going on. First thing, as you think about who this girl was, okay, she was an enemy. She was a little missionary, but she loved her enemy. She was Naaman's enemy. Naaman had picked this girl up as in the time of battle, and she'd been brought back to live in Syria. And rather than being this slave girl who was all upset and bitter and everything, she loved her enemy. She said, "Naaman's got a problem, and God can fix it." She could have been very bitter, but she, like Christ begs us, loved her enemy. Let's look in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 in verse 44 it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." In Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, it says just about the same thing. In Romans 12, 14, it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." In Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, we see this, the story of Stephen. And as Stephen is being killed for his faith, he reaches out and he shows love to his enemies. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, it says, "Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." He died. I love how the New Testament talks about believers who pass away and compares it to sleep so often. Love that. But here, as he is being killed, he shows love for the sinners who are persecuting him. And this little girl, she went out of her, she could have been being like, "Oh, great, Naaman, that guy who had a part in me being enslaved and my people going through all this, you know, great, he's got leprosy, serves him right." She could have said that, right? She says, "No, I know where he could get help. There's a prophet back home." And she had a genuine faith, right? That's why I think Jesus Christ said, "You got to come with faith like a child." Because she absolutely believed that God could heal Naaman. And she was willing to talk about it. She believed that she had a God who heals. In Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus 15, we read about the bitter waters. And in that passage, we read that we have a God who heals. And I say, you have bitterness in your heart, you have a God that heals. If you have sin in your heart, you have God that heals. If you have a physical problem in your life, leprosy or something else, we have a God who heals. She had a faith about that was in the business of having a God that heals. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36 says, and begged him that he might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36, people were just, if they could just touch Jesus' garment, they would be healed. And I believe that she absolutely would believe John 14:14, where it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And as I read through the scriptures, I think about two things today. Maybe you're sitting there and you've got sin problem. You regard iniquity in your heart. Maybe it's a sin problem that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you know you have sin, and you know that that sin is separating you from a relationship with God, and it has you in a very real danger of spending eternity in the lake of fire. Because you realize that there's only one way to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's through, we saw so many times this morning, it's through Jesus Christ, belief in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can clean a person's life from sin, that can pay the penalty for sin. And you need to do business with God. Because you don't want to be separated from him no longer, anymore. You don't want to be separated from heaven for all of eternity. And you realize that sin is just destroying you like leprosy was destroying Naaman. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I've trusted in him. I need to take care of some personal sins. You know, there's sin that I need to do business with. Or maybe you're sitting here and say, I need to be the girl in this story. I need to have faith that God can heal the sin of someone I love or your enemy. Wouldn't it be great if we could walk up to our worst enemy and say, God loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And I know if you surrender your heart to him, he'll begin to change your life. That's what God's done for me. And they go, oh. And it clicks. Can God do that? And so, can the Holy Spirit reach out and say that, tell someone that, and change a person's life? Absolutely. So maybe today we need to be like this little girl. Just with Christ-like faith, say, God can change your life. God loves you. He died for you. He'll clean your heart right up. No matter who they are, they need the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I hate sin. I said it this morning. I hate it that we all have become liars. We've put ourselves in a position where we stand. We stood guilty before you. But I thank you. I thank you for your son coming to this earth and dying on a cross, shedding his blood, so that we could experience salvation. I thank you for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for little missionaries like the girl in this story, who, even though we were an enemy, came in,